The scriptures are not written for us exclusively in chronological form. That is, Genesis 1:1 is in the beginning. But after the book of Genesis, the order in which we read things from beginning to end are not exactly precisely the order in which they happened. And in this series of 8 messages, I'm also not going chronologically in order of these 8 stories. We started with Abraham at the beginning of November. The next one, chronologically in the story, is Sarah, his wife. I'm actually doing that message the Sunday before Christmas. She has an interesting parallel with Mary the Virgin in that her conception was a miraculous one, she being 90 years of age when she gave birth to Isaac. The next one would be Balaam. We talked about this last week from the book of Numbers, the deliverance of the people from Egypt and the journey to the promised land and the blessing. On December 10th, we're going to talk about Ruth. That's a brief little book and amazing story in the Old Testament. This is after the people settled in the promised land and the time of the judges. The judges were people like Deborah, Gideon, Samson, Samuel. Next week, this is in the bulletin, Psalm 110. Each week I'm putting the scriptures in the bulletin because they're lengthy passages and I'd like you to read ahead. And this is the time of the monarchy of King Saul and David and Solomon. This Psalm 110 is one of the 4 messianic psalms written by David the king. We were talking about this in the Sunday school class this morning. There's over 350 messianic prophecies, that is, references, in specific references in the Old Testament that prophesy specific things about Jesus Christ, though his name is not given in that way in the Old Testament. 131 of them, that's the largest number, are in the prophet Isaiah, and 95 of those prophecies from the Psalms. So no way to go through the Old Testament messianic prophecies and ignore these 2 books. And this will be the 1 out of the Psalms, and we'll have 2 out of Isaiah. Isaiah 9, that's the most well-known messianic prophecy. For unto us a child is born. That's going to be the December 25th, our Christmas service. And today we're doing chapters 10 and 11. And this is after the monarchy, and what we call the divided kingdom. I'm not going to go into details about that, but God is threatening punishment and that the people are going to be taken into exile. You read that in chapter 10 if you did the reading for this morning. And the last story is going to be from the book of Esther. That's when the people are returning from exile, and that's going to be on December 3rd. So not in historical order, mixed up a little bit, but attempting to get all the phases of the history of people of Israel. And what did this waiting look like as they hoped for their Messiah to come? So chapter 10, this is what the last verses say. Chapter 10 of Isaiah. I'm reading verses 33 and 34, the last 2. See, the Lord Almighty, will lop off the boughs with great power. The lofty trees will be felled. The tall ones will be brought low. He will cut down the forest thickets with an axe, and Lebanon will fall before the Mighty One. The forests of Lebanon are referred to frequently in the Old Testament, and this image is that God in his anger, because Israel was disobeying the commands of God, is going to be an entire, like reforestation coming in and taking down an entire forest of trees to make pulp or firewood or for board lumber. And you drive by what was a forest and see nothing but stumps. And so the stump of Jesse, this is verse 1 of chapter 11, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. So we would drive by a felled forest and say, never again will there be trees here. And a teeny little shoot, sometimes from a stump, maybe you've taken down a tree in your yard and just have a stump there, and think, well, one day I'm going to cut out that stump. Nothing will grow there. And one spring you notice there's a little life under that root system and a new tree begins to be birthed. And this is the image that Isaiah is led to give the people as he preaches these sermons of condemnation. That's what the first 10 chapters of Isaiah are. The wicked king of Assyria is going to be used by God to get the attention of idolatrous Israel. And he prophesied then punishment against Assyria afterwards. And he talks about the peace of the kingdom. We know these words well that we read in Isaiah 11 about the wolf lying down with the lamb and the infant This isn't, for those of you who are parents, this is not good advice for your children. This time hasn't come yet. Your children shouldn't put their hands in the viper's nest. But this is an imagery of the peace that will come in God's kingdom in the last time. Verse 10 to 12 talks about a banner, a very intriguing name, lots of names for the Lord our God in the scripture. And he says, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples, the nations will rally to him. I don't know if you've ever been in a place of where a huge, huge crowd is present and you feel pressed by the crowd. You're not exactly sure where you're going or who you're supposed to hook up with and wondering, like, leaving a stadium, where's the parking lot? I got turned around. I came in this gate and I walked halfway around Target Field to get to the section I was sitting in and the game's over and you think, now where am I supposed to go? And we depend on signage to tell us where to go. The image that's on the front of the bulletin this morning is the image that the people of Israel would have had when they hear this idea of the banner. Sorry about the pixels, it's a little foggy, the clip art there. But it's the idea of their army going to battle, and there's a banner up there saying, this is where the leadership of our team is. Now, we don't do battle that way today. We don't get too close to, I'm not a veteran, never been to war, but I understand that we have weapons that shoot a long distance. Now, the army of Israel had shields and swords and spears and bow and arrow. So all combat was hand-to-hand combat. And not a lot of uniforms saying who was on what team. And so a battlefield would just be a totally chaotic area. And in the midst of the confusion and noise, soldiers needed to know, which way are we going? Are we advancing? Are we losing so bad that somebody called retreat? I can't hear the commands. And they would look up and see their banner and know where their leadership was and what they were doing. You might understand the banner idea a little more clearly with this. Now, you're not going to recognize what this is, but if you're a soccer fan, this is a big deal in soccer. You hold up the scarf of your team. So World Cup is coming, right? Everybody knows that. June 16th, you've all got that on your calendar, I'm sure. The World Cup is going to kick off in Russia. I know that date, but you probably don't. And the nations of the world are going to be watching a sport, the largest sporting event on the planet, which is not the Super Bowl coming to Minneapolis, okay? And everyone will have on something that identifies them, and their jersey always has the flag of their nation. Right? If you've gone to Minnesota United, you know that this has caught on here in Minneapolis. Everyone has a banner that they hold up. I'm with this team. This is from my team, the São Paulo Futebol Clube, the team I cheer for in Brazil. And I actually never had this for all the time I was in Brazil. Somebody gave it to me in the airport the night I was leaving Brazil. And I would not have paid my own money for that. I've been to plenty of games, but you identify with, you're not embarrassed to say, this is the people I identify with. I'm cheering for them. I'm not sure that this is an image we have in our minds a lot when we think of the God who came to save us. A lot of mischaracterizations in our society about who Jesus is, what Christianity is, what Christians are especially. There's a lot of mud being thrown around about that. And so let's be honest with ourselves. We're not always that bold to say in certain places, to certain people, in certain circumstances, hey, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ. I've identified my life with him. That's a bit risky at times. Oh, and hey, if you've read the New Testament, it has always been pretty risky. People are being martyred today for the love of Christ, as has been true for many years. One of the more iconic images in our mind about the banner is a World War II photo of the flag of our nation being raised on an obscure little Pacific island named Iwo Jima that was in the hands of the Japanese. You know this story probably. And a flag was raised, and there's a photo of five Marines and someone from the Navy, six men, raising a flag. And it's saying, this has changed hands. It's in our possession now. That was not true. Actually, the battle was won 31 days later after that photo. A lot of historians don't tell that part of it. But Some folks got in front of themselves and said, hey, we're in charge here now. It's a way of encouraging the troops. And this is what God is saying through the prophet Isaiah to the people of Israel many, many centuries after the prophecies began to be made. God is coming back and is going to deliver you. And they're not seeing it. And so he's calling the coming Messiah the banner, the one who's going to be lifted up. Why would he want them to have that image? I've listed four things in the sermon notes that I think should be obvious from the scripture. There are many others. I started with healing. We talked from Numbers last week and Numbers chapter 21. I told the story of the people of Israel who began to complain. This happened on a number of occasions against Moses and Aaron, their leaders. And God got angry with their complaining and ingratitude and sent vipers, serpents among them. People began to be bitten and a number died. And Moses said to God, what do I do about this? Because they complained even more, of course. And so he said, make a bronze snake and lift it up on a pole. And when someone is bitten, if they look at what's lifted up on the pole, they'll be healed. They will not be stricken dead. And that is what happened. And that is an obvious imagery of the coming Christ who was going to be raised up on the cross. Worship from earlier in Isaiah chapter 6. Remember that the prophet Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, exalted, and seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple, and the foundation shook, and it was filled with smoke. High and lifted up is the imagery of worship. The imagery of restoration. That is from the end of chapter 10 here that we read. The whole forest is going to be cut down and lopped off, and God is going to bring restoration later. And there's also a reference there from Isaiah 62. This book, Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah talks, is kind of divided into two sections. One pre-announcing the judgment that is coming, and one saying that the glory of God is going to follow in restoration when a banner is lifted up. In John chapter 3, most of us know verse 16 from this chapter of the gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. But maybe we don't all know the two verses that come before that. Verses 14 and 15, John 3. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. So God is quoting, Jesus there is preaching and quoting this idea, and this is the Advent message, isn't it? That salvation is offered to all the peoples. This is what it says about the root of Jesse here in Isaiah 11 and verse 10. A banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him. This was a very clear part of the prophecy to Abraham, the covenant with Israel. Although they did not understand that, they understood the blessing came to us, the Jewish people. Why isn't God blessing us more? And he's announcing again, as he has so many times, this blessing is for all the nations. This banner, it declares who you are, who we rally around. The defeated, the downtrodden, those without a leader, people who have no hope will come to Jesus. And the root of Jesse just signifies that he's coming through the lineage of David. Jesse is the father of David, the king. And you know from the scriptures that we read at the beginning of the Gospels, he was to be born in Bethlehem because he was of the line and family of David. So this Hebrew name, which is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. Where do I run when I need safety? I find where the banner is. Where's in all the mess and agony that I live in, when I look up, I see the flag of the one that I embrace and is my salvation. A banner is pride. It tells the message. We identify ourselves with Christ. A lot of discussion in our society today about identifying ourselves with the flag. Not really wanting to talk about celebrities and National Football League teams, But we understand and have agony about this. Hey, isn't this the thing that represents us? Shouldn't we be proud of that? I'm disappointed, agonized to see on our news today that people who identify themselves with protest groups are now beginning in recent months, in the last couple of years, going out in the street to protest with masks or hoods on. This is one of the most deplorable things in the history of our nation, where racist people, white supremacists for many years, would head out to do public acts of violence and aggression, but with their faces hooded, to not confess who they are. We just find this amazingly deplorable. And a number of groups today have begun that same thing, to go out in the street and hide their identity. This is important enough for me to get into public and physical violence and aggression, but I don't want anybody to know that I identify myself with this. That just is deplorable on many, many levels. And I'm just wondering if we understand this idea that the God who came in flesh came to save and identified himself and humbled himself to death on a cross. And many of us, perhaps, who are saved by that blood and sacrifice, are not bold enough to say out loud, "This is my banner. This is the one that I love." To wear the shirt of this team, to have the flag on our chest, to hold up a scarf and say, "That I have no shame of identifying myself with." This is an agonizing message from Isaiah. These people understand. For Messiah to come, it has to come through this tribe, it has to come through this lineage, it has to be born in this place. And as Isaiah says to them, because of your idolatry, you're going to be carried off to a foreign nation. They're thinking to themselves, for Messiah to come, we have to be living in the promised land. This is all going to grind to a halt. And he's saying to them, don't let your hope die out. For from the root, from the stump of Jesse, from what appears to be the land of Israel that's going to be cut off at the ground level, a teeny little shoot is going to grow up. That means it's not happening right now. It's going to take more time. But God is going to be faithful. And they're brought reassurance knowing deep down that they will return one day to the land of Israel and God's promise will be fulfilled. I don't know what's in your heart as you come today, but maybe this is this image of the forest of Lebanon being cut down resonates with something in your life. You know, it seemed like God had brought to fruition so many things and hopes and dreams in my life. And I had a hope for the future, and it seemed like the plans that we had laid out as a family, as a couple, me as an individual, just seemed like a forest fire swept through or a logging company came through and everything was just reduced to stumps. And do I have the patience to believe that God can restore all that and bring it back? So embrace the prophecy of Isaiah as we wait. Though we know the Redeemer, we know the Advent story, we know all that to fruition, we wait as well. And wait on God and His promise. I'm going to read as we close this morning the 20th Psalm. If you have your Bible, I'm going to ask you to open and accompany. I actually put this on as the reflection today. Read this Psalm and write out a prayer of thanksgiving to God. We're on Thanksgiving week. And this is a prayer that comes from David the king and talks about the banner that's being raised up. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May He send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May He remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May He give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. May we shout for joy over your victory and lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. Now I know this. The Lord gives victory to his anointed. He answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. Lord, give victory to the king. Answer us when we call. Amen. Let's stand together and declare that the Lord who came is our banner, the one we look to and embrace with joy and pride. So, Lord, we're Christians. We are Gentiles. We're not Jewish believers. We're not looking forward in agony and wondering, when is God going to bring his purpose to bear in our lives? At least the specific purpose we know. We're thankful that we have in our hands the scriptures that detail the answers that were brought, every prophecy fulfilled in great detail. But we wait as well. We hope for so much more, not just salvation and eternal life. We hope for holiness. We hope for restored relationships. We hope for success or comfort or many other carnal things that perhaps aren't part of your promise at all. They just happen to be what we hope for. We hope for healing and freedom from illness and despondency and hopelessness. We hope for energy. We grow weary and wonder, where is God when it hurts? When it feels like the forest has been chopped down and there's nothing but stumps. So restore in our lives the hope that a root will spring up and God has not forgotten the promises and the banner that we embrace, that we look to, that brings us joy and hope, that causes to arise from our heart a shout of joy and victory. This root will not be cut off forever. Give us pride. Help not one of us who know salvation in Jesus Christ to ever shy away from, to ever be embarrassed by our identity with Christ, despite what the world around us thinks of him and of us and our belief and the religion that we embrace. For we are the redeemed, the Israel of God. So as you are lifted up, like Moses lifted up the snake, and your son was lifted up, give us pride in the God who we embrace, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, the one who will come, the Christ of the Advent is our banner. In his strong name we pray. Amen.